Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 15th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Coronavirus, the Local Response. About Face. Shelbyville artist turns focus to making medical face masks. Shelbyville. Ion Flores is a Romanian-born artist at Carpathian Art Studios in Shelbyville, where his 3D printer is usually used in the process of creating eye-catching works displayed in galleries. But after hearing about a shortage of face shields for medical personnel, he wanted to use his talents to help those fighting coronavirus. His machine now is loaded with a design for a plastic frame that will attach to a transparent shield, forming a physical barrier between patient and caregiver. It goes around the head, he said. It doesn't need any elastic or rubber bands. It's very easy and comfortable. Floria estimates that he made more than 1,400 shields since April, donating all to Illinois hospitals, including Northwestern Memorial and Mount Sinai in Chicago, HSHS St. John's in Springfield, HSHS Good Shepherd in Shelbyville, and Sarah Bush Lincoln in Mattoon. He also reached out to the Decatur hospitals. They might need them, so I'm offering the help, Florea said. He's also reached out to Decatur hospitals. They might need them, so I'm offering my help, Florea said. Dan Regan, Vice President of Communications and Marketing for Mount Sinai, said they're grateful for the generosity of Florea and others like him. This means the world to them, Regan said. We've been fortunate to be able to keep them safe. Mount Sinai has received gowns, masks, shoe covers, and meals for the caregivers from others across the state. Over 100 people and organizations are making donations, Regan said. A shortage of protective equipment has been an ongoing issue during the pandemic, and numerous local and national groups have stepped up to fill the urgent need. The American Hospital Association, for example, launched the 100 million mask challenge to have manufacturers, businesses, and individuals work together. Floria has been experimenting with materials for years, including combining sculpture and painting on canvas. The availability of 3D technology allowed him to try new techniques, like surrounding a 1971 Ford Torino in metal. His Camaro, formed from plastic, was shown at the New York International Auto Show. The idea to make face shields came to Floria because he saw the need to and realized that he has tools and capabilities. It didn't feel right not to do it, he said. There also was another connection. He had shown some of his art previously at McCormick Place, the massive lakefront convention center in Chicago that was retrofitted to house coronavirus patients. That's why I need to help, he said. He began his research online, testing out more than 20 models. I did a lot of experimentation, Floria said. The artist communicated with doctors regarding the construction to make sure what is the best design and requirements, Floria said. I got the feedback from them and decided on the most comfortable model. Floria makes the plastic shields, plastic filament from plastic pallets. He said the filament is the most expensive part of the process. Because I make my own, I'm able to make so many and so fast, he said. Floria has set up a GoFundMe page to help with shipment, materials, and parts for the printer. Demand has not let up, he said. This is day and night because this printer runs a long time, he said, and they keep me awake and I have to attend to them. Floria said he hopes others in his field explore new ways to help during the pandemic. It's important to have this kind of help and to share, Floria said. Coronavirus, the state response. Resources announced for job seekers. Pritzker, Get Hired Portal One Stop Shop, Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Thursday announced new resources to help the hundreds of thousands of people unemployed in Illinois, unveiling an online portal that will offer job training and connect job seekers with prospective employers. Get Hired Illinois is a one-stop shop for job seekers of all levels and backgrounds to access career training programs, virtual job fairs, and opportunities to connect with employers, the governor said. It's critical that our state do everything possible to help our residents get back to work, whether returning to positions that they once held or with employers who are seeking to hire, Pritzker said during his daily COVID-19 briefing from his Chicago home. The state says Get Hired currently features 60,000 available jobs that more than 70 employers have committed to hosting virtual job fairs on the site. Starting June 1st, unemployed Illinoisans will also qualify for free unlimited access to courses through Coursera, an online platform that offers thousands of courses and hundreds of specializations. Courses will focus on training in the information technology field, which is in high demand as workplaces operate remotely during the pandemic. After finishing online programs, participants can continue their studies at a local community college or university. Free access to Coursera will run through the end of the year. The Illinois Department of Employment Security has processed more than 1,076,000 unemployment claims since March 1st, Pritzker said, which is about six times as many claims as in the equivalent time period of the 2008-2009 Great Recession. More than 70,000 new Illinoisans applied for unemployment insurance last week, according to figures from the U.S. Department of Labor. The federal agency also reported that more than 750,000 Illinoisans renewed their unemployment claims last week. Pritzker also said that more than 50,000 federal pandemic unemployment assistance applications have been filed since Monday, which offers benefits to independent contractors, self-employed individuals, and others who do not normally qualify for unemployment. New cases, deaths, and tests. Macon County officials on Thursday announced six new cases of COVID-19, bringing the county's total to 158. Of those, 51 were released from home isolation. Six residents are in the hospital, and 85 are recovering at home. 16 residents have died. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 3,239 new cases of COVID-19 on Thursday, among 22,678 tests, for a positive rate of just over 14%. More than 500,000 Illinoisans have been tested, which is about 4% of the population, and 87,937 have tested positive. IDPH also reported 138 new deaths from the virus, bringing the state's total to 3,928. The number of cases we're identifying is proportional to the number of tests, IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Nzike said during Thursday's virtual briefing. And we've increased our cases because we've increased the amount of testing we've done, and we hope to keep doing that. There were 4,473 people hospitalized with the disease in Illinois as of midnight, including 1,132 in intensive care and 689 on ventilators. All four regions outlined by the governor's Restore Illinois reopening plan are on track to move into the next phase of reopening on May 29th, according to IDPH data, including a case positivity rate for each region of less than the 20% maximum. Each region is so far meeting all the metrics, Pritzker said. Phase 3, titled Recovery, allows offices, retail shops, barbershops, and salons to reopen to the public with safety precautions and limited capacity. Mandatory face coverings and social distancing will still remain, as well as the 10-person limit to social gatherings. Pritzker said that even if one county in a region does not meet the IDPH's metrics for moving into the next phase, then that county will still be allowed if the region as a whole meets the metrics. There will be some areas that will be a bigger hotspot than other areas within a region, but we didn't want to hold back a region because there's one hotspot, Pritzker said. Request for public hearing. Illinois State Majority Leader Bill Brady, a Republican from Bloomington, sent a letter on Thursday to his Democratic counterpart requesting public hearings in which employees of the governor's office would field questions from lawmakers on how they developed the Restore Illinois plan and what revisions they might accept. While our constituents are doing their part to contain the spread of this deadly disease, they're also concerned with the economic toll this plan will have on their businesses and communities, read in part the letter that Brady sent to Senate President Don Harmon, an Oak Park Democrat. Pritzker said that he speaks with Brady and other Republicans frequently, and that Brady's request for a public hearing is grandstanding. My staff has answered questions that his members have had. We've responded by giving data and information whenever asked. So I'm not sure what he's missing out on, the governor said. It sounds like grandstanding to me. The Illinois General Assembly will convene next week for the first time in more than 2 months when the Senate meets in the Capitol and the House of Representatives meets in the Bank of Springfield Center at the city's downtown arena. Pritzker is currently isolating in his home after a senior staffer tested positive for COVID-19 last week. He said he wants to return to Springfield by mid to late next week, but that depends on the opinion of medical experts. The governor said he would take the same general precautions he is currently taking when down in Springfield. He added that he plans to spend time in his Capitol office and sleep overnight in the executive mansion. Symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, shortness of breath, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and loss of taste or smell. Do not go to an emergency room or doctor's office unless it is a true emergency. Call your primary doctor first. If you don't have a primary doctor, you can call DMH Medical Group at 217-876-2856. Again, that's the DMH Medical Group, 876-2856. HSHS Medical Group Patient Advocate at 844-520-8897. Again, 844-520-8897. Crossing Healthcare at 217-877-9117. 877-9117. SIU at 217-872-3800. Again, 872-3800. For COVID screening, the following resources are available. Crossing Healthcare at 217-877-9117. Again, 877-9117. That's Crossing Healthcare. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, 24/7 COVID-19 hotline at 217-464-2966. That's the COVID hotline at 464-2966. Or HSHS Medical Group offers free virtual assessments for COVID-19 at www.anytimecare.com. That's anytimecare.com. In county government, board votes down raises, rejects asking for furloughs. Decatur. The Macon County Board voted down a proposed series of raises for top office holders Thursday evening, but also rejected a resolution calling on department chiefs to impose staff furloughs and freeze hiring. The proposed salary increases would have handed raises of 2% in 2021-2022 and then 3% in 2022-2023 and the 2023-2024 salary years of the county auditor, circuit clerk, coroner, and recorder. But the resolution to approve the raises went down by 12 no votes to 6 in favor. Board member Linda Little, Republican of Decatur, had earlier proposed a motion asking for zero raises, which was actually voted down 10 votes to 8, even though the board effectively then achieved the same thing by voting down the whole salary package anyway. Little said the salary numbers were being talked about, which would have topped out at $90,396 for the office holders in the final year, was just too much. The numbers presented in resolution to increase the salaries are unrealistic and irresponsible, she says. Her comments came in the midst of a looming county budget shortfall, worsened by the business shutdown caused by COVID-19, now estimated to be heading toward $2 million. Macon County Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield, Republican of Decatur, said that is why he had come up with a resolution recommending a package of savings for the county's various departments. It called for county employees to take 10 unpaid furlough days between now and November 30th, which he said would deliver savings of some $600,000. Hiring would be frozen and no department would spend more than $500 without the approval of the county auditor. But the chairman's resolution went down 11 votes to 8. Even if passed, however, rules governing county government stipulate that county office holders can't be compelled to cut budgets the board has already approved. So they would have ignored the chairman's proposed cuts anyway. The board would have to vote by a 2/3 majority to force budget cuts on existing budgets, and Greenfield said that many votes were probably impossible to get. He said he was forced to come up with his own resolution because 3 meetings of the county's finance committee hadn't come up with any workable plan to cut expenses. And he said efforts to try and get the various office holders to suggest their own cuts had not been very successful. Several office holders reached out to me, and none of them seemed really to understand what we were asking, said Greenfield. They felt it was our job, not theirs. Laura Zimmerman, Decatur Democrat, said that she was busy working on a money-saving proposal of her own, which had received a good reaction from department chiefs, she said. And I think my plan gives us some way to be responsive to a situation where we can't predict very far ahead what things are going to look like, she said. She said she would present her savings plan at the next Finance Committee meeting. In other business, the county approved a $4,110 federal grant for 2020 census efforts. Greenfield said health department employees will assist seniors in filling out the census. The employees would be equipped with personal protective equipment and go to the seniors' houses to help them fill out the surveys. The next Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for June 1st. At 5:15 p.m., and the next full county board meeting is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. on June 11th. Church defying order about obeying God, not politics. Salem Baptist pastor, it's time to assemble in church again, Decatur. Salem Baptist Church's lead pastor said the church is obeying God by opening its doors Sunday for in-person services, despite Governor J.B. Pritzker's executive order and concerns of city officials. The Reverend Derek Bradshaw explained the decision in a statement to the Herald and Review and a roughly 40-minute live-streamed Bible study on the Facebook page for the church at 2650 South Taylorville Road. He said members would follow health guidelines, and elderly members are still encouraged to stay home. But he said, we should obey God rather than man, because our government today is rewarding evil and punishing good. When a government says that abortion clinics and pot dispensaries and liquor stores are essential and churches are not essential, they are calling evil good and they are calling good evil, he said. And that is not acceptable. Bradshaw said he did not want the church's actions to be perceived as a political rally. We just believe that the time has come to assemble to church again. He said in a statement to the newspaper, noting that other states have allowed church services and people can still gather in businesses considered essential, like Walmart. Under Pritzker's five-phase plan for reopening the state, gatherings of 50 or more people would not be allowed until the final phase. The state will not enter this phase until either there are no new cases over a sustained period, a vaccine is developed, or treatment option is readily available that would ensure hospitals won't exceed capacity, the governor said. All of Illinois is currently in the second phase of the plan, which allows for religious services with 10 or fewer people. Several churches throughout the state have already violated the order this month, and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot warned this week that the city would take action if churches there continued to do so. But in Decatur, Police Chief Jim Getz said Thursday that the gathering at Salem Baptist Church did not warrant police involvement. We don't have an ordinance in our books right now to take any action on city level, Getz said. There's no criminal level for what they're doing either. While the chief said police won't be getting involved, City Manager Scott Wrighton expressed concerns about the church's plans. During Wednesday's video briefing on the community's coronavirus response, Wrighton called out the church by name, saying disobeying the governor's orders could create undue risks and even cause a setback for the region. We've sent out protocols to all the churches on our list so that they can have outdoor worship services and have activities related to the church in a way that is in accordance with the governor's protocol, he said, adding, these actions just don't endanger the customers and the members of these organizations. They endanger us all. Bradshaw stressed that the decision to gather doesn't mean church officials aren't concerned over the health of their members. That's why a set of guidelines will await members as they come through the door and is also posted on the church's Facebook page, he said. These include elderly members and those at risk categories are encouraged to stay home and participate via live stream. Anyone who can wear a face mask should do so, and the church will provide masks until they run out. Those entering will be scanned for a fever and sent home if they have temperatures of 100 degrees or higher. Hallways, classrooms, and drinking fountains are off limits. No shared materials like hymnals will be used. No extracurricular meetings and classes will be held. Non-family units will be separated at least 6 feet. He said the church remained closed voluntarily for 8 weeks after the governor's initial stay-at-home order was issued, but he said state officials were using mysterious reasoning in deciding to keep churches closed. Neighboring states have allowed them to reopen sooner, he said, and the First Amendment allows for the free exercise of religion. In short, God said we should assemble, he wrote. The supreme law of our land says we can assemble, and other businesses are assembling daily. Illinois bishops announced church reopening plans. Chicago. The Archdiocese of Chicago, as well as the Diocese of Rockford, Joliet, Peoria, and Springfield, announced phased plans to begin reopening Catholic churches, starting in Chicago with small gatherings for baptisms, weddings, funerals, and confession on as early as May 23rd. Governor J.B. Pritzker has been under increasing pressure in recent days as smaller churches have sued the state trying to lift the almost two-month-old stay-at-home orders, application to religious gatherings. The governor added free exercise of religion as an essential activity to his revised stay-at-home order late April 30th after a rural church filed suit against the plan. The Catholic leaders soon after said that they were working on a plan to reopen churches. The Catholic bishops reached an agreement with the state Wednesday, according to letters posted on their diocese's websites. In the Archdiocese of Chicago, smaller gatherings could start as soon as May 23rd, depending on preparations in each parish. But because our movements will be restricted as that plan unfolds in different phases, your pastors and bishops will continue for the present time to offer Mass in private each day and to live stream Masses, Cardinal Blaise Kupich said in his letter. In other local and state news, Rock Springs concerts go online, summer series to be streamed on Facebook. Decatur, the Macon County Conservation District, will again host a free summer concert series, but only online. Concerts will be streamed live on the Macon County Conservation District's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Macon County Conservation District. 7 to 8 p.m. Sundays, beginning June 7th. The series features local musicians from across central Illinois with mostly bluegrass, country, and folk themes. Cactus Ranch will kick off the series on Sunday, June 7th. The Red Wheelbarrows will perform Sunday, June 21st. Celtic Whistle on Sunday, June 28th, and River Ramblers Sunday, June 12th. The musical group Terse will play on Sunday, July 26th, the concert series will conclude with cross-country classics on Sunday, August 2nd. The concert series is sponsored by Stifel Investment Services of Decatur. Unattended cooking cause of apartment fire, Decatur. No injuries were reported following a fire in the three-story apartment building. Fire crews were dispatched to the building in the 3700 block of North Woodford Street just before 9 p.m. Wednesday, the Decatur Fire Department said in a statement early Thursday. Smoke was coming from the front of the building, and the fire was quickly brought under control, the statement said. Tenants were able to go back inside after the building was ventilated. The statement listed unattended cooking as the cause. The fire is under investigation. And the photograph on this page shows a rainy Thursday. The former Staley Building, now owned by Tate and Lyle, reflects a puddle during Thursday's rain. Today's forecast includes 60% chance of precipitation, and there's a great big puddle and a car going through it, splashing water. And Tate and Lyle, the former Staley Building, is in the background with smokestacks and the lawn. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 15th, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.